Psalm 138. I want to see if I can cause you to see a new definition of faith. Maybe really what faith really is. The idea that without faith it's impossible to please Him. So let's see if we can find out what that means. Verse 7, Psalm 138. We're going to read, I'll tell you about it later. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He will perfect that which concerneth you when you stop trying. Do you understand? In the mercy and wisdom and economy of God, God cannot, for the idea of edification, God cannot fight against your will.
That just sounds weird. I mean, God is so big.
Yeah, but if he did, if he fought against your will, he just has to let you go. And if he would fight against your will, then you would be of no value to him. Because he's got a whole bunch of angels that haven't got a will that can do 10 billion things better than you'd ever dreamed of doing. Why would he need you? Your only value to God is singular. Your only value to God is that you have the capacity to find out and to know what he wants without him asking you, without him telling you. And the only reason time and space exist is for your being to be exercised to know that point. Nothing else is meaningful. Nothing else matters. Oh, God loves you so much.
Well, how does that fit with the we're always, I mean, right now every knee is bowed and every tongue confesses that Christ.
In the womb, there's birth and afterbirth. There's vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy.
So even the vessels of wrath are confessing that.
Even the vessels of wrath are confessing. They don't know it. Everything in the universe is confessing that he is Lord. Okay. Everything in the universe is created for his pleasure.
So really, when we get to the point where we surrender, his hand has been up to that point and in that point as well.
Yeah, but up until that point, the Holy Spirit's been convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Boom, boom, boom. And when the convicting has come and repentance is possible and abandonment is real, then he will then perfect that which concerneth you. But dwell on this for a minute. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Incredible concept.
But isn't that perfect there the meaning of to fully test? Is that?
It means to bring to that, to make perfect.
My book says accomplish.
To make perfect. Not from your standpoint, from his standpoint. The moment you stop being a goddess.
In other words, whether I like it or not, it's right.
That's right.
If it happens, it's right.
The moment you stop being queen of heaven.
Yeah, right.
Well, right is real. When you see the vanity of the need for control, and you do, you already do, you just forget it sometimes.
That was the very thing that brought me to my knees, was no control over a situation that just became lacking time. because the more you try to control it, the more
you guys, yeah, that, yeah, the more you try to control it, then you take.
It's going
to
go even more than you.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, so it's then it's like, it makes it even worse. Then I think I have even more to do. You know, then it just kind of keeps multiplying geometrically.
It reminds me of when I get stoned and freak out and start trying to remember to breathe and make my heart beat and get so and get in such a loop and so panicked that I couldn't breathe and I thought I was going to have, it was just unbelievable.
When you did that, I was listening to a marriage tape and you said one time that when you start trying to control that other person, that's when you lose control.
I haven't talked about this very much at all, but you mean when I surrendered, I mean I lost everything. You know, I had a rising, I was a rising young star in the National Republican Party. I was socially in all the right clubs. I had lost a lot of money, but I was making more cash than I ever had made in my life. I was doing public relations and lobbying. You know, I had a penthouse apartment in Turtle Creek. I had an office in one main place. When I said what I did, Father, if what this guy is talking about is real, then that's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. It literally cost me everything. My family, my mother, my uncle, everybody thought I was crazy. The people that I knew that were believers kept telling me how much good I could do, I could be governor for Jesus, you know, all of this. You know, different girls I was dating who I mean, they all thought I would just lost my mind. But I had to surrender. And for a long, long time, I literally had nothing to eat. I knew that for me, that surrender meant that I could no longer lean on my own efforts to do anything. I couldn't go get a job. I had to stand still. I had to be still. You know, for the first 2 or 3 years of the foundation, I lived on $15 a week. Ate one meal a day of vegetables. For several months, I was totally and completely homeless. Lived under a bridge. And during this time of aloneness, there was this constant testing that says I should take control back. Because I was good. I mean, I really was good at what I did. And it would have been easy, I think. Take control back of your life. This is stupid. You're starving to death. I went down to 147 pounds. Absolutely no friends. It's totally alone. I was, in effect, totally alone for 5 years. No one believed this. No one believed what I said about the doctrine. Now, I'm not saying this to you to let you know that, or to make you think that you have to go through all that. You don't, because we're a body, and each of us are filling up a different affliction that's lacking. But surrender is real. It's my people are willing in the day of my power. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to what? Willing to surrender their will to Him. Willing to surrender the right to their self. This can't be negotiated. You know, things. I hate to talk about this, but please, the only way that you can live by faith comes only after surrender. Everything else is just the Gentile mind with God stuff put on top of it. Can't work. Present yourself tonight the living sacrifice. Is that clear? I mean, what you gain is unbelievable, immeasurable. The moment you stop trying to get it right, you stop trying to do the right thing, you stop, and all of a sudden, a universe without boundaries and a place without the constraints of time or space opens up to you. In that place is where you live. And you never literalize anything that's going on after the flesh, because this is just the place where God is perfecting that which concerneth me. It doesn't matter about relationships or money or lack of money or kids or no kids. It doesn't matter about agendas or post-its, or those are meaningless. They're all parables to perfect that which concerneth you, so that you can remain constant in the position of peace. Nothing takes you from it. But it requires your abject, unconditional surrender. You can bring nothing into the kingdom. No ideas, no opinions, no rights to yourself. Then He perfecteth that which concerneth you. He brings you into the large place. He causes your heart's desire to be fulfilled with no effort on your part. He provides and gives you all things freely. But it's not an add-on to your life. Do you understand? It's not showing you something. It's not getting a little piece of understanding here and a little piece of understanding there. That's the type. It's wearing the jewels. You know, here the jewels are pretty, they look pretty good from the standpoint of what you think about, because they're finally, I mean, there's a lot of heartache going into the making of the jewels. But they're still only little pieces that you wear as adornment. They have to go too. It's either the full counsel of God, which is the mystery, which is the new thing, or it's none of it. Now, He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. He's not talking about the world, He's talking about the body. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to this total repentance. Now, the act of living in this new world whose entrance is surrender through the door whose life, which is His name, is Jesus, the act of living in this new world is called faith. It's living in a world without boundaries, without constraints of time, without concern for whether somebody, what somebody else's response to you is or isn't, where nothing can affect your peace, not height, nor depth, nor pain, nor suffering, nor demons, nor Satan, nor hell itself, nor death, nor life. Nothing can affect that peace in that new creation. And you have a right by your inheritance. Your inheritance from the Holy One of Israel to both possess, to inherit, to possess, and to dwell permanently in that place. Everything else is just trying to add on something to the flesh. You can't bring people into the kingdom. You can't bring Paul or anybody else into the kingdom. They're sanctified by your belief. They're not sanctified by how you treat them. Totally different world where you can never, ever, ever, ever depart from his presence. Where the idea of him having forsaken you is contrary to any possible thinking. Where you see him in every single aspect of your life. Where you can gain pleasure from every aspect. Where you can gain pleasure from pain. Not because you're a masochist, but because you see that which is perfect, he's using all things to perfect that which concerneth me. You can glory in tribulation, because tribulation is simply the act of removal of the chaff, which you don't want any anyway. You don't try to get out of suffering, you don't try to get into it either, you just live. You're just faithful to what is set before you. You're faithful to what you have. You're never concerned with what you don't have. But the entrance into that world is surrender. But you can go in and out. But if you go out, you're kind of stupid. You know, you go out to go chase something. That's what we laid hands on, so she could go chase something. Doesn't mean she's not saved. She goes in and out to find pasture, to find sustenance. But she finds, and all of us will find, that the only sustenance is the manna from heaven, not some act or activity or lack of or doing or nothing. Or, I mean, it has nothing to do with this world. It's so simple. The only question is, you know, is that what you want? If there's something left that you want in the world, then you have to go do that. For me, there's nothing in the world I want. It doesn't matter what I do or what I don't do, I can never depart from his presence. And if his presence is there, that means it's in his mind the right thing, and therefore in my mind the right thing. In his mind, he gains pleasure from all things, therefore in my mind I can gain pleasure from all things. Now, pleasure is a word we don't use very much except in the act of doing something. Please hear this. Otherwise, you're just trying to put jewels on the flesh. Let's stand a little bit.
I'm sitting here, I don't know if I'll have it. One moment I feel like I'm going to laugh, the next minute I feel like I'm going to cry. The next minute I feel like I'm going to float out of my chair. I don't want to move. Something just, it just dawned on me. It just dawned on me what you're saying. I remember, in a flash, I remember sitting in a classroom at a Lutheran university, taking like 24 credits of religion, and listening and trying to get it, trying to figure it out. and all the other things. And finally, what I heard you saying is, there's not air in front of me. And I'm not surrendering to nothing. I'm not surrendering to chance, accidents, fate, and the whims of other people.
No, they're meaningless. When I was in, this, when it first happened, when I first said, that's what I want, I don't care what it cost me. I mean, and I had this experience where I left time. It happened again, you know, when I was with a gun in my mouth, I was going to die. And it happened again when I was in Germany, actually in Austria, with doing that television special for on Adolf Hitler, the New Age Messiah. And most of you weren't here then, but the basis of the show was called, it was The Spear of Destiny was the name of it, and it was how Hitler was transfixed by this spear that allegedly had come down all the way from Phinehas in the book of Judges through all of the kings of Israel to that was the spear that Herod had to say that he was the rightful leader of the Jews, which was grabbed by the guard, which stabbed Christ, which all of the leaders, the emperors that hundreds and hundreds of years claimed that if they had that spear, they won. And Hitler saw it when he was a teenager in a museum in Austria. And he saw it with another guy, and they were standing together, and both of them were transfixed by its power and its thing. And Hitler was transfixed by this power, the idea that if he had possession of the spear, that it was all power. It was the fifth chakra in New Age terms. It was where the power place was. That's where it penetrated Christ, the blood of God. So anyway, I'm standing there, television cameras on me, because I'm supposedly narrating this thing about what Hitler had done and experienced. And here in this incredible case is this lance with a, it's beyond description, but it's in this case, and it's dramatically lit with a red velvet background. And I'm talking about it, and all of a sudden I looked, and I lost it. It's on camera. I just started bawling like a baby for about 15 minutes, and they filmed it all. Of course, the cameraman and Jeff, or what's going on here? Jeff was smart enough. He thought it was something, that, so he had the camera keep going. But what I saw, and why I was crying was, I saw all of the effort of man. I saw hordes of people climbing mountains to get to some holy place. I saw millions of people going into some holy place to find something to assuage their conscience. I saw all of the treks and incredible, I mean, it was just vision after vision after vision after vision. And I saw it was all fruitless, without merit, without value. It was all vain. That all that was necessary was to accept that singular one sacrifice. And I bawled like a baby on camera. That's all I'm trying to get you to say. See, it's just the surrender of that one moment. And then it's always to return to that first love, no matter what happens. Now, everything else is futility. He will perfect that which concerneth me. Now, I'm sure all this stuff sounds like a fairy tale, or at least, or else you don't believe it. I mean, whatever. But it's that quickly available. I was looking at some stuff I wrote 22 years ago, right after I became a believer. I could have written it today. Nothing has changed. Because what I saw was the end, what I lived was the end, and the end is still now. It's all this exactly the same point. And this idea of the quest, or the righteous search, or the quest is what's evil. Because you deny the finishes.
What a trip.
You're at the end already, so if you're searching for the end, God says you're a fool. And the interesting part is, every man and woman on the face of the earth knows it at some point in their life. And then they sell out to something. Nothing I've said to you, everything I've said to you tonight, something each one of you already knew. But for the sake of either positive or negative idolatry, you will give up that which is perfect, complete, in order to worship this thing, which is really stupid. It's like I keep saying over and over, I don't know how else to preach any better. I don't know how to say it any differently. I don't know how to present it in terms of my life any other way. But I wish you could see through the deception. Whatever it is that's trying to pull you away from the mystery at any given moment, see through to see this finishedness at all times.
It's like the deception is unbelievable. I'm just like, I remember the first time I heard you say that I was the idea that you'd look everywhere, you would look everywhere through all of land and sea to find the Antichrist. And the one place you can't see him is behind your eyes, between your ears. And the idea that you would, every man would spend his life searching for truth, and searching for God, and trying to reach, and trying to attain. And the idea that that activity would be the evil. And it's like, it's elegant deception.
So it isn't what you go through with someone. It isn't the knitting together, the binding together is that which, you know, understanding that which can't be seen, or the understanding that which is being in that place.
Yeah, and in what's perceived by the flesh as need, as hurt.
That's the part I get screwy on. It's like, then you factor in flesh, and it's like, wait a minute, you just said, don't factor in, you know, it's grace, you know, yes.
No, what you perceive by the flesh as suffering, or pain, or heartache, or frustration, that's what the flesh will see it as. The spirit sees as the opportunity, and you can see, i.e., the true you sees, the only reason those things exist is to knit the body together in love. But that's why if you try to be successful alone, then it can't work. Because the mystery of God requires, I wish the mystery of God just required singularity. I mean, that would be my desire. Because I would honestly and truly love to be one of these guys that goes up and lives in a cave somewhere, just studies and prays all the time. I've said it, Bloom and I both have said it many times, that I would, you know, I'd like to be, I wouldn't mind being in jail from that standpoint, because the interruptions would be only scheduled ones. And, but in the mystery of God, God has to make us like we are. He had to, we had to be exactly the way we are, going through exactly what we are at this moment, so that we could fill up the afflictions that are lacking in the body, in the mystery.
Is our life just a gift to God?
That's all. Our work is a gift.
It's nothing for me. It's all.
It has nothing to do with you.
Because for one second earlier, I was thinking it'd be sort of neat to die so I could see, and so I could be with you. And I think, well, no, because I can be that right now. But then life is really, you know, it's just for me to contain Him. Because to really, the flesh would just want to die.
Yeah. No, I wanted to die a whole lot of times. But, I mean, and I don't say this lightly, the only reason that I haven't died, and the only reason I have, that I, is because I've, it's for others. I mean, it's because I've experienced something that has to be shared.
That would be easy.
Yeah. No value here now. Thinking about the manna in the wilderness and the spirit, about how the manna was sweet and totally fulfilling or bitter. That's like the same thing with the spirit. It's dawning on me also, the idea about the spirit condemning the world, convicting the world. It's like, step out of the rest and the spirit is wham.
Smacks you.
In the rest, the spirit is life. The spirit is what?
Yeah.
Carries. The spirit is what, I mean, it's like you see, the spirit is your life or your worst enemy. It's just that simple. And it's like, I know I'm babbling, but it's like, there really is, it's really.
It's really true.
It's really true. It's really real. God is real and God is active.
But it's like, it really doesn't matter what I see, what I, oh gosh, I've seen this, like you said, oh.
No,
I understand. Now I see this.
No.
It's not for me anyway.
As long as there's no surrender, then it's meaningless.
Yeah, first thing I'm ready to say about everything you've ever wanted, even if you got it, once you got it, it was meaningless.
Right.
You strive for that career, certification.
And everything. Marriage, children.
All.
Careers, travel,
Paris.
They all are subject to entropy. And it's like, it has to become, again, it's hard to see how can it make any sense that surrender is the entrance to this world. And again, each of us, He's they don't treat each of us are not treated the same. I mean, I thank God that you don't have to go through what I did to get to the mystery.
Yeah, that's why I was feeling you don't have to do that. I don't have to go through that. I don't have to die.
You don't have to, you know, and I thank God I don't have to have a baby.
Me too.
Are you lucky?
But I mean, whatever the issue is, if we can just let the peace of God settle over us, then we can see that whatever it is, it's for a purpose. That is so far beyond us, and so far greater, and so far more mysterious than anything we could ever dream of or imagine. And every second of every day, we can have the sense of pleasure in whatever it is that comes at us. And that's so hard to believe. But it is more real than the sun is going to rise in the morning. It is more real than anything that you can perceive with your senses. Yeah.